Welcome to the Kingdom Life podcast, where we equip ourselves with godly wisdom so that we can go into the world as kings and priests, manifesting all that the kingdom of God is.
Sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Now, do you know how to present your body holy? Does anybody know how to you make your body holy? Anybody know what's... Scripture interprets scripture, right? There must be another scripture to interpret that scripture. Do you know what it is? Okay, there's it. I'm running out of time. Let me show you. So how do you present your body holy? How do you make your body holy before God where your body becomes an acceptable sacrifice? There's it. It's found in the book of Matthew 15:11. It is not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. It is what comes out of your mouth, the words of your mouth, that defiles you. That makes you unholy. Anything that you eat passes through your stomach and then goes into the sewer. But the words you speak comes from the heart and it defiles you. From the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, and a whole lot of other things. So if you want to be a living sacrifice, guess what? You gotta control your tongue. That's what a living sacrifice is. And so words are an expression of your intent, your motives, your thoughts. And there's one more, James chapter 3, verse 6. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So the tongue among our members, it defiles the whole body. So, so when you have control over the tongue, or when we have control over the tongue, you're presenting your body holy. And God says, I like that. That's an acceptable sacrifice. And so the New Testament sacrifice is clearly demonstrated through the cross. Jesus said, if any man come after me, what he must do? You must deny yourself, you must take up your cross, and you must follow Jesus. So if there is suffering for loving God, if there is suffering for trusting God, if there is suffering for appreciating God, if there is suffering for doing good, if there is suffering for being generous, if there is suffering for controlling your tongue, your life is a sacrificial offering that pleases God. There's a principle number three. And I have to go through this quickly. Principle number three, the giver and the gift are one. You cannot separate the giver and the gift. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. He had respect for Abel and for his offering. And God showed no respect for Cain and his offering. So you cannot separate the offerer and the offering. The gift and the giver, you are one. And so God, when you bring whatever sacrifice you make for God, God assesses it, God evaluates it. He assesses both the giver and the gift. And then he either accepts or rejects both the giver and the gift. So it's not only about rejecting your gift, it's about rejecting you, the giver. And that's why, you know, God is not a respecter of person, but he's a respecter of faith. And that's why God doesn't treat all of us equally. Because then what's the purpose of some of us being more committed and more responsible than other people that are less responsible and less committed? And that's why you'll see the blessing is not equal on all of us. It's the level of commitment and faith that you have in God determines the level of blessing upon your life. And I think that's a fair system. Because then if it's not that system, then it's a very socialist system, right? And God is not a socialist. In a social system, everybody gets equal share, whether you hard work or don't work. No, God says no. The more you work, the more you get rewarded. The more responsible you are, the more I trust you. And that's the kingdom. And so the giver and the gift are one. And the question is, why did God reject Cain's? Maybe I told you, faith, no faith. The other one could be, every gift must come with fire. And Cain's gift was no fire. Okay, that's another thing. Okay, so there's principle number four. Man, I'm out of time. Principle number four, the principle of emotional intelligence. Okay, in 1950, scientists discovered that your EQ, your emotional intelligence, makes you more successful than IQ. How quickly your mind works, the speed of thinking, processing. Okay, emotional intelligence is more important than IQ. Emotional intelligence has to do with how you manage your emotion, how you control anger and frustration. So in the 1950s, they found that people that have an high emotional intelligence are more successful, because how you control your emotions determines the relationship you have with people. If you can't control your anger, that means you're going to have problems with people. So in the 50s, they discovered that EQ is more important than IQ. But look at this. 4,000 BC, before Christ, God already showed us in His Word that the importance of managing your emotions properly. How do we know that? And the Bible says this, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why are you so angry? Why is your face like a bullfrog? You know? If you do well, you would have been accepted. But if you didn't do well, you're not going to be accepted. And sin's lying at your door. And sin has a desire over you, but you shall rule over it. And then after that, you know the story. He killed his brother because he couldn't control his anger. And then somewhere about 400 years before Christ would come, there was a Greek philosopher called Aristotle. And he said, anybody can become angry. That is easy. But to be angry with the right person, at the right degree, because anger has degrees, right? You can start with a low anger, then you can become rage, right? Okay, so he says, anybody can be angry, that's easy, but to be angry with the right person, to the right degree, at the right time, for the right purpose, in the right way, says, that's very hard. And that's why Jesus came, to wash us from our sins, cleanse us, write the word of God on our hearts, give us the Spirit, and to make us kings and priests. Do you know why you're a king? The first reason why you're a king is to rule over emotions, anger, and frustration. Because if you can't rule over that, then that means you're going to have a very low emotional intelligence. You're not going to be good with relationships. In other words, in the 50s, they discovered people that know how to manage the emotion, know how to manage their relationship, they are more successful in business than people that have an IQ, low emotional intelligence. And so, you know, to be angry, to be angry is not sin. It's when you continuously are angry, that's uncontrollable anger is the sin. So the duration for anger is what? Yeah, almost one night, right? Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath, almost one night. Okay, there's the last principle, and the principle is there are consequences. You know what happened to Cain, I don't have time to get into. There are consequences. If you don't manage your emotions, your anger, your frustration, there's consequences. Does emotions matter with God? What do you think the answer is? The answer is yes. Why? Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Enter His courts with praise. What does the Bible say when you fast? Don't look gloomy and doomy. What does the Bible say? Wash your face. Comb your hair. Put some oil on your hair. Comb your hair. Smile. See, God doesn't want you to serve Him with a heavy heart. He wants you to come in His presence. That's the reason for food. Food puts a smile on your face. And that's what church is. It's an experience where you come and you cast your cares upon Him. And you say, God, this is your problem, not my problem. I'm going to celebrate my victory. I'm going to have a meal in your presence, and I'm going to leave here stress-free. And that's what it's about. And so let's close with that.
Thank you for joining us as we equipped, prepared, and edified ourselves for the week ahead. As you go into the world, may the Lord bless you, protect you, look on you with favor, and keep you. Until next time, God bless.